107 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings Wednesday style. Phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. And we're enjoying the start of our 10th birthday party, which will last the bulk of the year. The presents will be yours, the candles will be ours, and we'll act our age, you know, which is no different than, I guess, last year as well. So, yeah, 10 years, May 1st, 2009, launching FM Talk 106.5, and y'all been great. And, like, talking to Larry Kirby earlier and started thinking, big thank you, and I got a note here from our buddy Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So, listen, there's a whole laundry list of people that have been with us since day one, which is pretty gutsy of them, this idea of putting, you know, locally sourced talk radio on an FM signal. And I want to thank all those advertisers who have been with us for all this time, made this possible. Y'all are great, great, great partners in this. So thank you. Thank you very much. Also, a man we've been talking to, if not all 10 years, the bulk of the 10 years. Also, my buddy, and you can go look at the picture of the gift I got from Jeff on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Poor with Lanyap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and of course, host of the Jeff Poor Radio Show on WVNN in Huntsville. And good morning, man. It's like I just saw you yesterday.
I was about to say the same thing. It's like we never left.
As we were, and I want to talk about that because so much to talk about from yesterday in the halfway point here in session in Montgomery. But first, let's talk some national politics and what to make of the Rosenstein saying that that Barr didn't exactly, I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, didn't exactly communicate accurately his findings in the report or something. Kind of explain this, what the allegation is and what the reality is.
Yeah, so Robert Mueller said that the report wasn't accurately reflected in the four-page letter sent out by Congress. Democrats jumped on board last night. I kind of flipped around the dial. They're trying to seize upon it and call for impeachment or something of William Barr. I don't think it's that egregious, but it's a lot of it's based on a reporting from the Washington Post. So does that make it evidence in any kind of legal proceeding? And I'm not quite. I'm sure it's going to come up in congressional hearings. Barr's going to be grilled. So we're going to find out whether or not that's that he was actually. I think the way the Democrats are going to make it, try to make it seem, is that he lied to Congress, and therefore that is that is some kind of impeachable offense, and that is just the beginning of the next scandal. Whether or not it has any traction, it remains to be seen.
Yeah, Dalton was saying this morning that, hey, but the report is out there. I mean, how much damage could be done, because you can go see the report for yourself and not take Barr at his word. I can argue that, in today's news cycle, whatever the first claim is on something often sticks with people longer. But, I mean, did Rosenstein say exactly what, I mean, you could say, oh, well, he mischaracterized, how, on what points?
Right. I think it downplayed the obstruction, perhaps.
Okay.
But that is probably the biggest part of it, that a Congress, I guess that was the sin here, is that it was allowed to kind of sit here as long as it was until the redacted version came out, and they weren't allowed to see what the report actually was trying to convey and the message it was trying to give. But, this was a report done for the Department of Justice, not for Congress. Whether or not that is part of the calculus or not, I think it'll be a matter of debate, and depends on which side you're on. That will be the everybody will go to their battle stations, and that's where they'll line up.
Do you expect just rhetoric today during the congressional hearings? I mean, is it just going to be people getting on the record saying that, they said this, that, or the other?
I think so. Watch for Republicans saying that there's still no collusion, that was the whole point of this investigation, no collusion, and that will be hammered. And then Democrats will, obviously, we know what they're going to say already, because we've been talking about it for the last, 12 hours or so.
Mm-hmm.
12 to 18 hours. So I think Republicans are probably best served by just play that over and over again, because in reminding the public, those that are still tuned in, what the point of the whole probe was in the first place.
Do you think that we're looking at a continuation of what will be the Democrat platform for all the people vying for it, or the majority of them? The Democrat platform for 2020 is not going to be what they're going to do, or maybe change us, even though some polling has shown that climate change is big with Democrat voters or other things, but that the it won't be plank of a platform. It'll be a 4x8 sheet of plywood. Will all be collusion, impeach, get rid of Trump?
Not at all. I think this is a flash in the pan. I cannot see. Just imagine trying to go to some small town in Iowa, stand on a back of a pickup truck, perhaps, and talk about collusion for 45 minutes. It's just not going to draw much of a crowd at all. That's the danger what Democrats are facing if they buy in too much to this. What I've always said is I think Congress will do the dirty work. Democrats in Congress will be the ones that go all in on every nuance of the Mueller probe and Russia collusion and obstruction of justice and so forth. And you really won't see it as much on the campaign trail. Do we need to see Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders? How much are they going to talk about this, and how much is that going to help their poll numbers? I think what this really is not so much to help you advance a Democrat cause or candidate, right? It's to damage Donald Trump, and that makes you perhaps in a better position as you go on through whatever the political objective is. But if you're just a candidate out there bashing Donald Trump, you're using up all your fire to hit the president. Maybe you save that for a general election sitting or whatnot. But right now, if you're in a primary situation, you are head to head with all these other Democratic candidates, and I think that I just don't think this, if you want to call it a scandal or issue or whatever you want to call it, lends itself to any presidential politics.
So it's an interesting way to think about it. So you've got congressional Democrats doing this, the headwind, the political damage there on the president, while the Democrat candidates for president can be talking about other things. So, I mean, this is working to their benefit without having to take it to their stump speeches.
Yeah, because they know that they got to win the hearts and minds of those primary voters in New Hampshire or the caucus goers in Iowa, and that they are competing within each other. If Donald Trump were on that ballot, then perhaps, and if he were running away with it, then perhaps. But right now, I think you leave the dirty work up to Congress. That's really where they could really run a two-front war right now, and maybe put the future Democratic nominee in a better position when that is finally said and done.
Yeah, you mentioned Democrat candidates. You mentioned Joe Biden, former Vice President Joe Biden. What about, I think he had said the other day, and to paraphrase here, basically if he can win Pennsylvania, he can win the presidency. What's your take on that? Do you think that's valid, or do you think that that's not true?
Yeah, I think it's perhaps true. We have to look at how Donald Trump did it in 2016, right? He won some states he wasn't supposed to. And that's got to be Joe Biden's whole game. He's got to build that firewall that Hillary Clinton was never quite able to create. That was that we were told it was there, and the media told us it was there, but it was a gross miscalculation by the media. So I do think there's truth to that. I think perhaps Biden's a much more, much better candidate than Hillary just because of the geography.
Yeah, well, yeah, and you're going to have Pennsylvania, interesting state. You take out Pittsburgh, you take out Philadelphia, and you have a lot more conservative state as it votes. I mean, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, obviously, with lots of population, and that's going to be good for the Democrats and those cities. But that battle in the outside Pittsburgh and Philadelphia will be, I don't know. I mean, if it was just random Republican candidate, random, let's just say, country club Republican candidate versus a Joe Biden in Pennsylvania, I'd say they better watch out, because Joe Biden can probably talk some of the talk to those people in the Keystone State that they want to hear. But I don't know that that ship hasn't sailed for Democrats, because it was Donald Trump that made that message to them and won with them.
Right. I mean, this is a state that elects, like, Rick Santorum, the U.S. Senator, right? Let's think about that, though. The reason Hillary Clinton wasn't able to win Pennsylvania, and it's the same could be said for Michigan, I think, didn't get the urban vote out, and didn't do a good job getting the African-American vote out. That's why I lost her those two states, I think. And because in the past, you had Barack Obama, who is a rock star in that community, and they just weren't fired up for Hillary Clinton. Does Joe Biden do that for the African American community?
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, probably not.
I don't know. I think maybe better than Hillary, but is that enough? That's the question.
All right. We'll come back, talk more about that, and lots going on in Montgomery. We continue our conversation with Jeff Poore. Of course, you can check him out on Twitter or check out his radio show on WVNN in weekday afternoons. And, of course, his work in Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News. And I wonder, maybe because he gave me that very cool Bush hat that I put the picture up of on Twitter, mm-hmm. maybe I'm back on his campaign for the nappies. We'll see. We'll ask him when we get back. Thank you, Kane. 822 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Morning. Sean, Dalton, Kane, Dr. Bill, and of course, our buddy Jeff Poore. And Jeff, yesterday, right above where we were doing the show, people were taking votes on the very restrictive abortion bill, House Bill 314. And protesters were there, but this thing passed very, very easily. You had some Democrats walking out, but the bill now going to the Senate. Explain to folks, too, this is a very restrictive abortion bill, but it's part of a design like in other states, right? This is a method to getting somewhere. Where is that somewhere?
It is to get to the federal courts and then hopefully the Supreme Court of the United States, where it will be Roe v. Wade will be reconsidered by the courts. So it is a bill that is so unconstitutional that it is almost 100% likely to get challenged because it doesn't conform or it just doesn't go along the lines of what Roe v. Wade dictate was the law of the land.
So, but that's why, you know, it's getting reported around the state that the Republicans passed this, and that's true, the House Republicans passed it, but it is by design. They're like, what can we put in here to make sure that this gets challenged?
Yeah, and they will readily acknowledge that Terry Collins of Decatur, who is the sponsor of the House bill, came on our show, said that was the whole point of the bill, that they looked every way they could to defy the Roe v. Wade's decision. They even put no exceptions for incest or rape, and they did it to the degree that perhaps it gets caught up to the Supreme Court and there's some kind of relief for Roe v. Wade.
Then the other issues that the legislature will be looking at, we'll get to Lotto in a second, but pretty interesting, our discussion yesterday, we're talking to Senate President Pro Tem Del Mar. Had a discussion with him on your show, and we're talking about prisons and the issues around prisons and whether Governor Ivey would do this executive end around or what the legislature would do, and Del Mar said what?
Marsha said that perhaps we're looking at a special session.
Yeah, a special session for prisons. Even though, I mean, right now they still have the second half of the legislative session there, but the idea that this would be called in the form of a special.
Yeah, and our friend Todd Stacey said, well, you know, the rumor is this session's going to cut loose a few days early, right? And it perhaps wouldn't look as on the up and up if they called a special session instead of just try to get it knocked out in regular order. But we'll see. I think a special session would maybe politically give folks a chance to get home and spend some time and then come back with a fresh head in October, like you said, and have some good fresh ideas on it. But I do think there's something there, Sean. I think that not having a bill that's pre-filed or anything yet on the issue, that tells us there's at least something bigger perhaps to come.
Yeah, and I wonder about that because you have this, you know, usually you would think if something is as pressing as this prison issue, you would have the special following the general pretty quickly. But if it is in September, if it is in October, there must be some other piece to this puzzle that I don't know yet.
Yeah, I think you're right. I wonder if there's some kind of relief we're going to see later on to show we're making progress to the feds. And therefore, the feds will give you that time to
reconvened for the special session, which would be, if in October, it'd be 5 months from then now, assuming it started beginning of October. So, that is a good question, why wait so long, but I do think there's some reason there. What it is, it's not entirely clear. But keep in mind, we had a House Majority Leader Thady Ledbetter on right after Del Marsh, and he kind of shrugged off the idea of a special session. And he said that he and Speaker Mac McCutcheon had talked to the governor about this. Now, keep in mind, special session is at the discretion of the governor. And what I think will happen, if they don't do anything in the session, then Ivy would call perhaps a special session, calling on the legislature to address this issue. But that when would she do that? What would the politics be? Are they going to need some time to kind of work out some deals? Are they going to need some time to work out? Well, because there's a lot more than just brick-and-mortar prisons. We're talking about the whole big thing of prison reform. And, we have the deal with the parole board. It's just letting people out. They're going out and committing crimes. There's a lot there besides just, hey, we just need to build some new prisons.
Okay. Well, and before we run out of time, let's get the other big subject out there, and that is the lottery. What's the lay of the land now? Which bill do you think we're going to be looking at? And do you think that bill makes it through the debate in the House, gets back to the Senate, and something that they'll vote for?
Yeah, I think we're probably 2-3 weeks away from the House putting their bill together, and I'm almost 99% certain that it won't be the same bill that passed the House of Representatives. I mean, that passed the Senate. So whatever the House passes, we'll have to go back to the Senate, and they'll have to take another look at it. And then how long does that take to where they get to the point where the House and the Senate are on the same page about the lottery? I mean, it's a contentious issue. And there's as we talked about it yesterday, there are a lot of interests trying to piggyback on this gambling issue, or there are a lot of gambling interests trying to piggyback on this lottery issue, trying to make what some casinos or some dog tracks have legal that right now, if you believe the Alabama Constitution, is illegal.
Yeah, this is a part you touched on, and I think both of us talked about that probably bears some further investigation. This people have said, hey, if we have a CA, we change the Constitution of Alabama to allow lottery. This by de facto will greenlight Class 3 gaming on tribal lands. I've heard that. I don't really understand that, Jeff. Do you have any more understanding since we talked about it yesterday?
Well, I'll just repeat what I've been saying. These tribal lands are dictated by federal law. They're not dictated by state law.
Right. So why does it matter? That's what I'm saying. So why does it matter what we do here? But then again, you have video bingo on tribal lands because they say bingo is legal in the state.
Okay. So video bingo is considered a game of chance, at least according to federal law. Now, there's two things going on here. the definition of what is a game of chance versus a game of skill is two different things when you compare state law to federal law. So tribal land is dictated by federal law. And tribal land, federal law says tribal land, they can have whatever the state has inside the borders of the state. If the state has a game of chance, then perhaps the Horse Creek Indians could have a game of chance as well in the form of other Class 3 gaming. Now, they will tell you that's not necessarily the case because they already have paramutual gaming here. We already have Greyhound racing and that. And they have always had Class 3 gaming in Alabama, and they could have gone with that route already. But I don't know that's a stronger argument than if they could go to the Interior Department and say, hey, look, we have a lottery in Alabama, and therefore we need Class 3 gaming just to make it fair. That's really kind of maybe that's the direction they're headed.
All right, there he is, folks. It is our buddy Jeff Poor with WVNN, his show every afternoon starting at 2. Of course, Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and just all-around good guy who's been with us for the majority of the 10 years of FM Talk 106.5, and he sticks with us, man. We thank you for it.
Yeah, since 2010, talking about Tea Party rallies, I recall you and Wayne Gardner.
Oh, wow. Flashback time for sure. Thank you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks for having me on, Sean.
Always, Jeff Poor checking in, and we're coming right back. .37 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings on a Wednesday. It's time to head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton. How are you, buddy?
I am doing great. It's the start of a new month, May 1st here today. What's going on at McConnell Automotive, and where can we get a new deal on the lot?
Well, what we're hoping, Dalton, is everybody listening might get excited about this. We've just had a best sale we've had in 6 months. It closed out the pink tag sale, and Dalton is really focused on 18 models, you know, 2018 trucks as an example. But we got a little birdie told us last night that by this afternoon we're going to get an announcement that 2019 trucks could have as big a rebate nearly as last month's 18 trucks. So these are the AT4s, the X31s, all the hottest stuff that just came out with the new tailgate, all the new technology. So I want everybody to go to our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, probably by about noon, and check out these savings. And it sounds like, dog, it's going to be first come, first serve. So you're going to need to move fast. And after the newest body style, this would be a sale. And people just need to go to McConnellAutomotive.com or come see us on Dalton Street and take advantage of it as quick as they can, partner.
That's some great news. We appreciate it, Mitch.
Y'all have a great day, Dalton.
You too. That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, our phone number 343-0106, 343-0106. Also works on the text, if you want to drop us a text there too, which a lot of people have. Thank you, and thank you for the birthday greetings. And 10 years of FM Talk 106.5. This year is going to be a big one. Lots of new things coming this year. I can't ruin it. But there's some new things coming to the mix this year. And, of course, we're going to party with y'all during this 10th year.
A surprise party. We might just show up at your house.
Surprise ourselves. How about a surprise party for yourself? Like, you forget that you set the party, and then you're like, oh, surprise.
Uh-huh.
Also, this weekend in the world, we talked about this earlier in the show, you qualify horse racing as a sport?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Kentucky Derby comes up, Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple things pretty interesting here on the Derby. The purse for the Derby this year raised to $3 million, up from $2 million. It had been since 2005, it had been a $2 million purse. From 96 through 2004, it was $1 million. The breakdown for this year for the $3 million purse: the winner, $1.86 million. Runner up, $600,000. Third place, $300,000. Fourth place, $150,000. Fifth place, $90,000. The winning jockey usually gets 10%. Runners-up only get 5%. Let's see here. The favorites this year, Kentucky Derby post positions announced yesterday. Omaha Beach had
cool
the best.
Name.
Yeah, it is. Had the best odds at 4-1. Game Winner is close behind at 5-1, followed by Improbable. That's my favorite. Improbable and Roadster both are at 6-1.
Mm-hmm.
Jockeys, Mike Smith is he's been on winning horses more than once. Mike Smith is riding Omaha Beach. If he wins, it'll be his second straight Kentucky Derby. Actually, last year he won with Justify there.
That's right.
And then they won the Triple Crown, taking the Preakness and the Belmont. It was the 13th Triple Crown in history, only the second in 40 years. If Smith wins with Omaha Beach, it'll be his third Kentucky Derby win, and he'll become the seventh jockey to win both back-to-back years. In addition to last year, his other win was back in 05. Atmosphere, the Derby attracts 160,000 fans to Churchill Downs, which they say is a far cry from the first year of the Kentucky Derby running at 10,000 in 1875.
Yeah, were they?
That's a big crowd. I'm sorry. In 1875, they'll say, oh, it's nothing compared to the 160,000 now. You know what it took to get to Churchill? What it took somebody in 1875 to show up at a horse race?
Yeah.
I'm impressed it's 10,000.
A quarter of the population of Kentucky back then.
That's right.
We were talking last week going into Talladega how infield at Talladega, bucket list item.
Yep.
I'd say infield at Churchill Downs, also a bucket list item. Something that I want to get done. My family, my dad's side of the family, is from up there in the Kentucky, Indiana region, right around there. He spent a lot of his childhood in Kentucky, and a lot of his family is there in Kentucky. And I know they would go to Churchill Downs pretty often for the Kentucky Derby. I don't know if my dad ever worked at Churchill Downs or if he only has friends that have worked there, but he went with his cousin 1 year to the Kentucky Derby, and I guess on the ticket, you're not supposed to, what's it called when you have a ticket and you're not supposed to sell it for more than face value?
Scalping?
You're not supposed to scalp.
Yeah. Well, so, then you're supposed to scalp any tickets, right?
Well, you're
but
not,
it's, but it's right on the ticket.
You're not allowed to. And the story goes that my dad's cousin was walking around outside of Churchill Downs, and they had an extra ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to sell the ticket. And he actually, I'm not even sure if he was trying to sell it. Somebody comes up to him and says, "Hey, do you have an extra ticket for sale?" And he goes, "Yeah, actually, I do." And the guy makes the first offer, the person trying to buy the ticket, and offers more than face value. Now, if someone just comes up to you and offers right. you more than face value for the ticket, and I'm sure that my dad's cousin had no idea even of
right.
the law.
Right.
He wasn't a guy that was following the rule
so
book
this is
exactly.
A setup, I see it coming, yes.
Yep. Yeah. He ends up getting arrested because it was a police officer outside
of the. It's a sting outside Churchill Downs.
It was a sting outside of Churchill Downs. He goes down at Churchill Downs for for selling above face value of the ticket. But the story goes that he was tricked.
Yeah, well, it sounds like, but you know, you walk into the receiving the Sally Port there, and you go into jail, and what are you in for? I'm in for robbing a bank. Mm-hmm. I'm in for what are you in for? I sold a extra ticket we had to the Kentucky Derby for more than face value.
And the thing
back
is,
back off, guys. He's a tough customer.
The thing is, he's about 6'7".
Well, that's good. That helps. Him.
About 360, 370. Had a wrestling scholarship. At Notre Dame, he didn't actually use. Actually, yeah, I think he had a football scholarship to Michigan or something like that. Didn't actually go.
Big old boy.
Didn't use it, but a big old boy. I don't think they were making
okay,
fun of.
Okay, good. So he was all right on that.
yeah, he was fine.
I do. I want to go as well. I know very little about horse racing, but I want to go the same way. I know very little about auto racing, but I want to go to mm-hmm. Vega, and I want to go to Churchill Downs and see the Kentucky Derby. I'd go. Heck, if I had time, I'd go to all the different races to say it there. I have family members. My late grandfather, when he would be inside on the farm, you'd go in, he'd be watching Pittsburgh Pirates
mm-hmm.
play baseball, or he'd be watching harness racing. You ever seen that? Where they have the people sitting in the carts behind the
yeah,
horses?
Almost like chariots.
Yes.
Chariots.
He'd watch that stuff big time as well. He also says the betting this year for the Derby. Last year, $225.7 million was wagered on horses around the country, which to me, that means the legal betting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people do illegal betting for horses like they do for other sports.
I don't know.
It was up 8% from the year before. And you could also go to KentuckyDerby.com. Pretty interesting. They have the Kentucky Derby study guide, and you can go through. They have a picture of the horse. They talk about the past wins that mm-hmm. the horse has had. Let's talk about the jockey, give you a little backstory on each one, and you can go through and get an idea maybe who you think is going to win.
They tell you how many hands tall they are.
Yes.
I'm sure, on there. 17 and a half hands.
Yeah,
I like the measurement. I wish we measured people like that.
It
like,
depends on whose hands.
12
right?
hands.
Do we have a standardized? It was like bushels and all the carryovers. But I mean, the hands thing is completely arbitrary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
If you have somebody with very little hands.
Yeah, is it a, we're talking an NFL quarterback or an NBA player's hands? Or are we talking my wife who has very, very tiny hands? There'd be a lot more. To answer your question, offshore sports books do offer.
They do.
Offer horse gambling. And also the dog tracks that are here in Alabama.
You can do that.
Even though the dog track here in town doesn't have dogs out there anymore, it's still open for dog and horse gambling. They just show it on the TVs.
I just, you know, and the gambling's not a temptation for me, but going to the pomp and circumstance mm-hmm. of the Derby, I want to do that.
Yeah, I just want to get the sheet, the bet sheet, and mm-hmm. roll it up and, you know, smack it on
yes.
the rail so while I'm cheering for a horse.
And I'd probably be more into the mint julep drinking than the actual race going on. Let's go to, we'll go to the phones, and David in Mobile is up first. Hey, David.
Hey guys, I've never wanted to go to the Kentucky Derby, but I'm going to get to check a couple of things off my bucket list in June when I go see a Cubs game at Wrigley.
Hello,
Pizza in Chicago.
Dropped out. You said you're going to a Cubs game at Wrigley.
I got a Cubs game at Wrigley Field, and I'm going to eat a deep dish pizza in Chicago. Those are a couple of things on my bucket list.
And how are you getting up to Chicago, David?
I'm flying out of Mobile Downtown Airport on Frontier Airlines, and I've already selected my my seats too. I'm gonna be the window seat on the exit row.
There you go. Everybody's plan accordingly.
Yeah, and by the way, happy anniversary, 10th anniversary, guys! Y'all don't act a day over two, and you don't look like a day over 60.
Very good. Thank you for that. I guess.
Does anybody find it alarming that the mayor, first day he can get out of Mobile, gets a ticket out of Mobile? He just leaves. He's like, I'm gone.
I haven't thought about it that way. Everybody else is going to a celebration of the airport, every news account. And the mayor showing his, you know, his excitement about Frontier and the Brooklyn Airport. What does Dalton say? Are y'all worried that the mayor's leaving just his first chance? Okay, we'll be right back. All right, 852 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. I'm learning things here to the weekend. Big thank you. Mark Holliday walked up and said, yeah, you know, harness racing, and he watched a bunch of it. Of course, Mark's family from up that way as well in Kentucky. And I was talking about my grandfather in Pennsylvania would watch Pirates baseball and harness racing. And I had forgotten until Mark pointed out, he said, you know, the horses were governed, so to speak. They couldn't do anything more than trot. If they ran faster than a trot, they'd be DQ'd. And now going back in time, remembering this gigantic television set that they had sitting in the living room of the farmhouse that, you know, they had the built-in set with the speakers on the side, hardwood. I think that when it was moved, you had to take a wall out and bring a forklift in to move it, kind of TV. And it was sitting there. And yeah, I remember going, looking at my pap and saying, you know, I don't, what are they doing? They're just good. They're all kind of trotting around the course. And then the jockeys had the goggles on and their little hat and everything. And they're sitting in that little cart behind the horse. That harness racing stuff. And so I Googled it. It's still alive and well. It looks like it's more of a Northeast thing in Kentucky, Indiana, and then up through the Northeast. But there's a bunch of harness racing.
Yeah.
Although I don't want to go to a harness race track the way I want to go to Churchill Downs. So.
No, Churchill Downs is the pinnacle of horse racing with the Kentucky Derby. Hopefully it doesn't. I don't know what the weather looks like up there. I know somebody from up there. I mentioned my dad's got a lot of family up there. Maybe I can get somebody on that's on the radio up there who talks Churchill Downs, maybe goes to Churchill Downs. I'll see if I can get them on later this week. That'd be pretty cool.
Okay.
You're down for that?
Oh, big time. Big time. All right. A couple other things I want to add in, too. Talking about what happened in the legislature yesterday, a lot of attention is on the abortion ban bill that was passed, and that dominated the House yesterday. But I want to point out the House also voted to approve a pay raise for corrections officers. As we talked about, the prison issue is more than just building new prisons. Correct. There's different parts to what the feds are saying we're doing wrong here. The state's in the midst of the federal court order to increase prison staff. They can't do. I mean, I'm driving up to Montgomery from here for yesterday, and two different billboards I saw trying to solicit for COs, for correctional officers. It's like, yeah, you know, hey, it's a career with whatever. Well, they can't think about it. It's a tough job. Okay, you can't sugarcoat it. I mean, you're working with criminals,
right?
Right. Okay. I mean, I'm sure there'll be somebody call me from, you know, and say it's. I'm not saying it's, but it's a tough job.
Mm-hmm.
You're not working with school kids. You're working with criminals.
Yeah. No. My father-in-law was a CO.
Okay.
Up in Massachusetts, he was hit by a 2x4 on the back of the head.
See, there we go.
Tough job.
Although there's some kindergarten teachers have dealt with that too, but it's not always, not maybe with same regularity. But so they're trying to get the wage up to, and now you have a good economy. You have a great economy going on right now. And if people have so many options and other things to do, it's got to be really tough to get somebody to do that job. Well, at the same time, the people that are there are working these huge overtime hours to make up, and they're making big money doing that.
Yeah.
So House Bill 468 yesterday, Representative Chris England, Democrat out of Tuscaloosa, said it provided a step pay raise, a 5% salary increase, plus expanded bonuses and payouts for unused annual leave. England said the changes could add up to about $10,000 in more pay for the officers. Federal judge ordered, of course, ADOC to add about 2,200 correctional officers on top of what's there now.
Wow.
So they're trying to, I mean, the jobs are open, but like I said, the billboards are out there. They're trying to solicit, and people aren't taking the jobs. There's a certain number, right? There's a certain number. There's all kind of dangerous jobs, you know, and jobs people don't want that at a certain dollar amount, the economy will say, here's some people that'll do it because it's hit a certain number.
Yeah, you have to hit that number, though. I mean, that's just basically capitalism, right? I mean,
yes,
you offer the money, and
but if we as a state, are not going to get on board with finance that, then we're going to be in this. Even if we build new facilities, the only thing about the building the new facilities I've heard is that it takes less staffing for more people because of the technology in a new prison. But till we get that, let's say something happened in a special session. Even in June, even though they're talking about maybe October,
it'd be 2 or 3 years, best case scenario, before there'd be all these new facilities.
And it's something that's really working against getting people hired to work at these prisons. You have headlines like this every day, which yesterday, another headline involving Holman Prison, 3 injured in assault involving 11 inmates. And even though we've known prisons have been trouble for a long time here in Alabama, the USA Today in-depth article about what the DOJ has found about Alabama prisons and how much violence there truly has been with how overcrowded some of these prisons like Holman is, and and how some of the guards react to the violence inside. I know a lot of the guys in there are bad guys, but I mean, a lot of rules aren't being followed, and it's
right. And this is
crazy.
Remember,
stuff.
This is the Justice Department under President Trump, you know, with appointees. So to have this idea that there's like this is some liberal movement coming down. No, but there's rules that are absolutely being violated. And you've got Myron Thompson and the Department of Justice saying, you got to get this solved. What have we been told, like Senator Cam Ward and others who've talked with us, is they don't have to solve all the problems right now, but they have to show that the state is doing things today and has a plan for what we're doing in a year, 2 years, 3 years to fix this problem, or the federal receivership would come in, which would be the worst thing.
And you said they did that in California?
California, where they, just the quick Cliff Notes version of it, but you can Google it and look. When they came in California years ago, decades ago now, they made California release prisoners just to get the numbers down, not because they had been rehabilitated, not because they had served their debt to humanity. They went ahead and just said, y'all got to release this number of people. And then they did the build-out of the prisons and all these changes. The feds demanded it, did it, and then handed California the bill. The state taxpayer has to pay the bill, even though the feds decide what's done. Whew. Y'all, we've been harping on this for 4 years here on the show. There's a reason. All right, we'll pick it back up and harp some more. We'll get the harpsichord out. You get the harpsichord out for Midday Mobile today, starting at noon. Mike Gallagher next.
Bye. Hey, happy birthday, station.
Yeah, that's true.